slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and it's about 10:05 on Saturday morning, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. Well, you know, I've had a chiropractic and clinical nutrition practice here for about 18 years, and yes, this show is about building health. A lot of what we talk about on this show is easy change. You know, for example, if you listen to last week's show, it was nearly impossible to walk away not changing the actual oils that you are going to eat in your diet. We talked about olive oil from New Olinda Olive Oil and, you know, all of the health benefits. And so if you're at the store and you're considering processed oils like maybe corn oil or canola oil or soybean oil, well, after listening last week, my hunch is that you'd switch. The same goes for our other guest last week, was about farm-raised salmon versus wild Alaskan salmon. You know, the information shared about farm-raised salmon, well, gosh, you know, sounds like more of a health risk to me than a health benefit. So that's another easy change. You just choose the wild Alaskan salmon. You know, that to me is a no-brainer. And so next week I won't be here, and my dear friend Carla Jackson will be here from Jackson Ranch for Dogs, and we're going to be, we're trying to talk her into having a radio show, actually, and so she's going to do a little sample. She'll be here to see if she thinks radio is fun or not, and if you have any emails for her, you can send that to my website, which is drtrudypratt.com, and you can, you know, if you have a dog question, a training problem, something like that, that might be of help to you. And so our guest today is Dr. Tim O'Shea, and he is a vaccine researcher, an author, and a chiropractor in San Jose, California. And he's written a book called The Sanctity of Human Blood, Vaccination is Not Immunization, and it's in its 13th edition. And now his 14th edition has just come out, and it's called Vaccination is Not Immunization. And so I want to welcome Dr. O'Shea. Are you with us?
Yes, Dr. Pratt. Can you turn up the audio that I hear your voice a little bit, please?
Yes.
Thank you. And you can hear me okay, right?
I can hear you just fine, and thank you for being with us. And let me know when you think you can hear me just fine.
It's fine now. Thank you.
It's fine now. Okay. Well, Dr. O'Shea teaches classes about vaccines and nutrition to chiropractors, but also to the general population. And, you know, Dr. O'Shea, I've taken your class, I don't know, four or five times, and they're so well-researched and informative, and your book has been in my waiting room for ages, and, you know, it keeps disappearing, and we find out who borrowed it, and we, you know, bring it back, and finally it just sort of disappeared forever, and I have the 13th edition, and, you know, I just sort of keep that to myself. Now. And so as we talk about vaccinations today, I want to start by just acknowledging that parents have it tough, you know. They're forced to do so much vaccine research on their own, and the internet is filled with all sorts of different pieces of information, and their doctors and public health officials tell them that vaccines are safe and effective. And, you know, first, let's just tell me how you got into this whole thing and how you became interested in working so hard keeping up on vaccine research.
I'll just give you the short version of that. About almost 15 years ago, I started my website, which is thedoctorwithin.com, and I started out doing a research project on antibiotics and antibiotic resistance, and came to find out that it's one of the number one health problems in this country. For example, at the present time, did you know that 80,000 people die every year in American hospitals of infections that they acquired in the hospitals for which there are no known antibiotics? And so we have created this problem ourselves by ignoring Alexander Fleming's original directive not to use these antibiotics prophylactically, in other words, just in case. No just-in-case antibiotics. We have ignored that since 1940. Now we have this situation where we have the superbugs, you know. We have become resistant, bacteria have become resistant to all known antibiotics, and this is a problem that we have created because we were so focused on marketing of antibiotics.
Right.
And this is well recognized. This is not even a controversial issue anymore. But this was the first topic that I wrote about on my website, and then I just got the idea one day, more than 10 years ago, I'm thinking, wow, if there's all this disinformation in place with respect to antibiotics, could the same system of misunderstanding and misdirection be in place in respect to vaccines? And then I started just researching that, and it became this whole web of information that I call the field problems with vaccines, and it was just an overwhelming amount of information, and that's the material that I cite, that I have always cited in the editions of my book down through the years here.
And when is it that you started teaching courses for people?
In the year 2000.
Okay. Well, so where should we start today? Do you want to start with a background? You know, we've got a lot of folks that are so interested.
You know, Dr. Trudy, you said something really, really good already. I'd like to address that. You said that parents, what did you say? You said that parents have to get the information about vaccines. How did you say that? Do you remember
what
you said?
Well, you know, they're forced to do their own research. And
yes, exactly. They're forced to do their own research. But this is the real tragedy of this situation, Dr. Trudy. It's that they're forced to do their own research if they really want to make an informed decision on vaccines. But the problem is, there's this kind of background noise going on in the back of everybody's mind, sort of like, you know, is there a problem with mercury in vaccines? Do vaccines really cause autism? Gee, I really don't know for sure, but I've heard a lot about it. But until I find out, I will vaccinate. So the default is, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to vaccinate my kid until I find out for sure. My opinion is it should be the opposite. If you have doubts about vaccines, which are well justified, then you should go to legitimate sources not making a living selling vaccines, and find out whether or not those suspicions that you have are justified. And so change the default is my opinion. Change the default until you have enough information on your own to make an informed decision. Do not vaccinate. And that's really what my book is. Just an effort to provide that very referenced, very credible, completely documented information so that, you know, just the average parents will have the information to make their own informed decision.
And when we look at your writing style in your book, it's so approachable. It's so easy to pick up. You can read part of it. You can sit down, like you mentioned in the preface. You're encouraging people to spend about 2.5 hours and read the entire book. And so for those people who don't have the book yet, where do you want to start by sort of including them in this journey that you've been on?
Oh, you can go to my website, thedoctorwithin.com. Excuse me, thedoctorwithin.com, and you can read a blurb about the new textbook, which is called Vaccination Is Not Immunization, and then it tells you how to obtain that book.
Great.
But it just came out this week. It just came out. It's a brand new textbook.
Oh, how exciting for you. That's wonderful.
But what you say is true. It's not so difficult. It's completely referenced, but the average parent can really read the whole thing in one day.
Yeah.
So my contention is that your kid is worth that.
I would hope so. Hey, Dr. O'Shea, we need to take a quick break, and you're listening to Positively Healthy with Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back after this message.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, this is Trudy Pratt. Have you tried the new Air Park Cafe lately? Owner Cindy Norris is known for her veggie scramble. It includes hash browns and toast for $6.50. It's my favorite breakfast in Reading. Air Park Cafe is located at Benton Air Park, where Gold Street meets Air Park Drive. The hours at the Air Park are Monday through Saturday, 7:30 in the morning to 2 p.m., and on Sundays a bit shorter, from 7:30 in the morning until 1:30 p.m. Come and watch the planes land at the Air Park Cafe.
With over 100 years of combined service to Shasta County, Longcrest and McDonald's Chapel are there to help you through one of the most difficult times of your life. When you lose a loved one, most of us don't know what to do first. One call to Longcrest Chapel and you'll reach a caring, professional staff that will guide you through the arrangements and coordination of services. Whether in the Longcrest Chapel or church of your choice, Longcrest will be there with you every step of the way. Longcrest specializes in cremations and will help you find a cremation package that will be affordable for your family, but also offers a full range of services, including burial with an on-site cemetery and a beautiful new cremation garden. Call Longcrest Chapel, where diligence, attention to detail, and professionalism are the hallmarks you'll find at Longcrest. They're listed in the white pages. Call 222-1587. Longcrest Chapel and Memorial Park, where excellence meets affordability. Your local Dignity provider.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. If you have any questions today for Dr. O'Shea regarding vaccinations, you can call in at 605-4567. And welcome back, Dr. O'Shea.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Hey, I want to just hop right into it here. I want to start with either going over a little bit of H1N1 and how we've pulled out of that fiasco, or I want to start at the beginning with immunizations and the scheduled vaccines for parents on page 50 in your book. And I wanted to give you a choice of where you want to go.
Let's start with the second of those first, because as we're going to see during our discussion, as H1N1, that whole scenario is fading out into the graveyard of vaccine memorabilia now.
Excellent.
We want to see how that is in the context of the whole program of vaccines as they have existed.
Then let's go with the fact that by the age of 18 we have 68 mandated vaccines for children.
Yeah. So now when a lot of us were kids, we were only getting like 4 or 5 vaccines. If you were a child growing up, a baby in the 1980s, then it was up to 20 vaccines that you would get before, you know, you were 18 years old. So Shot Day is called the Well Baby Program. That's the title they give it. So you get the usual shots that everybody is getting. That's called the Well Baby Program. And by the 80s, that was up to 20 vaccines. So now let's go forward to the mid-90s when I began my research. And for most of the 90s into the 2000, it doubled. It was by the late 90s, we were getting kids, actually by the mid-90s, kids were getting 40 vaccines between the ages of 0 and 18. And this is when the autism epidemic came out of nowhere, which is still being routinely denied today by organized medicine and the government about any possible connection between autism and vaccines. So they say, we don't know anything about autism. We don't know where it came from, what it is, but the one thing we do know for sure is there's no possible connection with vaccines. That much do we know. That's their mantra.
Right.
And so then it all went ballistic after 9-1-1. We got onto this revolving door of using our children for a laboratory, right? And so every few months since 2001, every few months, you know, it's like new vaccines get added to the schedule, other vaccines get pulled off, but the trend is up, up, and up. And then I trace in my book how it's gone from 40 in 2001 to 68 vaccines today. So what I'm trying to tell you is, according to CDC, the current vaccination scheduled on the Well Baby program, if your kid is getting all his vaccines, he is getting 68 vaccines by the time he is 18 years old. And I'm telling you, Dr. Pratt, and you already know this, this makes our kids not only the most vaccinated kids in the world, but the most vaccinated kids in the history of the world. There is no other country on earth who pursues this aggressive upward trend toward vaccines as we do.
And are we healthier because of it?
Well, that's certainly the next question. Now, I have, as you know, I have two full-day seminars. One is on vaccines and the problem with vaccines. The other seminar is on nutrition and detoxification. I have a whole autism program, and so I go through this in both those seminars. Actually, I go through the statistics of how young people today in this country are fatter, sicker, and dumber than they have ever been in our history, and how that trend is continuing to deteriorate. And I always say that I don't make that statement to be provocative in any way, but I go through the government statistics one after another that supports each one of those facts. So for being the most vaccinated children in the history of the world, the health of children and young people certainly either does or doesn't, you know, reflect that trend.
And when you talk about in your courses, you talk about the early history of vaccine really being based on fraud. Can you give us a little bit of a background there?
The early history of vaccine, you mean back with Edward Jenner in England?
Yeah. Is that too in-depth? I know we have such a short time here.
Yeah, that's a really good question, but I have a whole chapter that answers that question on my website. It's called Smallpox, Bringing a Dead Disease Back to Life.
Okay.
It really covers that topic completely, but I think that we should go on to something.
Okay, then let's move into contamination and preservatives.
Excuse me?
Let's move into contamination and preservatives in a vaccine.
Okay. Talking about things like the ingredients of vaccines, first you have the attenuated microorganism, and then you have adjuvants and preservatives, things like ethylene glycol, mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, things like this. And you wonder, I have a whole section on mercury, and everybody knows that mercury is one of the most toxic substances ever invented. It's the most toxic substance ever invented, and you would wonder why would they use such a cytotoxic element in a vaccine that we're giving to our newborn children? And then I took me a long time to find out the answer to that question through research, and the answer is that batches of vaccines, which are called lots, even though they have expiration dates, they never throw them out. They never dispose of them, and they sit on the shelves for decades and decades. So the way they think is we're going to take this substance that is toxic by its very nature in the first place, called a vaccine, and we are going to wrap it in this envelope of the third most toxic substance known to man, mercury or aluminum, which is practically as bad, so that it will be impervious to contamination from outside biologicals. In other words, it will last on the shelf forever, virtually forever, so that in case, you know, we need these vaccines for some reason or other, which we can market, you know, 30 years from now, we can trot them out, tweak them a little, reapprove them, and use them.
And when we look at, can you take us through the ingredients of a vaccine? There's some pretty ugly sounding ingredients here when we look at how a vaccine is made, what all, you know, what you're basically injecting into your child or yourself. Or
there are three main categories of it: the preservative, the adjuvant, and the the biological agent itself. And so I just mentioned about the preservative,
yes,
in short. And so the second thing would be the adjuvant. Now, adjuvant, this is a complete misnomer. It's kind of an Edward Albernaz term. Adjuvant, the root word is helper, but what it means is it's telling us that the substance within the vaccine wouldn't trigger an immune response, a strong enough immune response in the baby. They wouldn't react strongly enough to it. So they trigger it, they add something to it that is more toxic, slightly more toxic, to invoke a stronger response. And this is the illusion that immune response equals immunity. I mean, if you carry this to a logical, this argument to its logical conclusion, you know, you could say that Drano invokes an immune response.
Right.
You know, we manifest an immune response to any poison. So their theory is that the vaccine itself wouldn't evoke a strong enough immune response, so we're going to use these things called adjuvants to make the child react in a stronger manner. The illusion is that immune response equals immunity. You see what I'm saying here?
Sure, yeah. Okay. And so we have the preservative, we have contamination, and then we have the what's our word?
Adjuvants.
Adjuvants, okay.
Adjuvants is a substance to make it more reactive.
Okay. Okay, so then for any parent listening then, we can see that there are the possibility of harmful ingredients, contamination, in a vaccine. Okay, what else should a parent know?
The third thing would be the actual biologic agent itself.
Okay.
And what I always say in my seminar is, even if the FDA came out tomorrow and said, okay, no more adjuvants, no more toxic preservatives like aluminum and mercury, this problem would remain. These microorganisms, you know, the bacteria and the viruses that we're injecting into our little children are not the bacteria and viruses that exist in the actual wild version of the disease that is, you know, in nature. I mean, even if the germ theory were true, we go through that whole thing, even if it were true, these are not like wild measles viruses that are being added to these vaccines. These are, or polio, polio bacteria, it's the same thing. These are man-made mutations of the wild diseases that are made stronger and completely changed from the original disease so that they will create a reaction in children. To go from there to pretending like they create an immunity to the original disease that existed in human population is just completely unscientific. It approaches the realm of science fiction and eventually religion.
Can you explain to the listening audience what natural immunity is? I mean, what's
sure.
gone on since the beginning of time for our immune system?
Well, natural immunity is real immunity. It's the only way that the human body actually becomes immune to something. And the only way that happens is you have to get a disease, or else at least be exposed to a disease. And the best example I always use is before the MMR vaccine came out in 1978, a lot of people got the measles when they were children, right? And that you wanted to get the measles, you wanted to get the mumps, you wanted to get the chicken pox, because these are mild immune building diseases of childhood. You get sick for a few days, and then you get better, and then you have true lifetime immunity from those real diseases, right, that lasts you for life. So that's natural immunity. But to contrast this with the type of immunity that is conferred by vaccine is something that just cannot be supported by any science. The type of immunity that vaccines claim to confer is described as artificial immunity, and it has nothing to do with the original natural immunity of the human body.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to go to a break here really fast, Dr. O'Shea, and then we'll pick back up after our break. So don't go anywhere. Okay. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
With the arrival of spring, it's time to start planning your home improvement projects. Need new doors and windows, or want to treat your pet with bling? Then visit the booths of Mal's Glass and Happy Tailed Barkery. Have a building project and need lumber or desire a new swimming pool? Then talk to the experts at Weaver Lumber and Guidance Pool Center at the original Spring Home and Garden Expo presented by Popovix Productions. In the market for new cutlery? The people at Cutco Cutlery will be happy to supply you. Come see the newest ideas in color, design, and green technology now through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Anderson.
If you're looking for natural remedies for your health problems, look no further. East Earth Tradewinds, Reading's most complete herb store, has hundreds of Chinese herbs, books, essential oils, and more. You can also make appointments for acupuncture treatment or oriental therapeutic massage. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Visit us at 144 Hartnell Avenue in the south end of the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's East Earth Tradewinds, 144 Hartnell Avenue in Reading.
Mark your calendar for the event of the year, the date April 15th. It's the show Shine, Wine and Dine at Anselmo Vineyards. You're going to get to meet celebrities like Bo Hopkins and Paula Matt, both original cast members of American Graffiti. You're also going to get to see that 1951 Merc and that awesome yellow coupe that was also featured in American Graffiti. Come to Anselmo Winery and get to see it all. Show Shine, Wine and Dine starts at 11 a.m. on April 15th. This is the place you want to be. O55 hamburgers, fries, shakes, and banana splits. And you know what else? The beautiful and talented Beverly D'Angelo will make a very special musical guest appearance starting at 3. What a blast! I'm telling you, Anselmo Vineyards is the place to be. 50 awesome cars, prizes, celebrities, live music by Double Take. Wow, what a party! Anselmo Vineyards, Show Shine, Wine and Dine, April 15th.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
You move too fast. You got to make the morning last just.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And we're talking vaccinations today with Dr. Tim O'Shea, the author of The Sanctity of Human Blood, Vaccination is Not Immunization. He is calling in from San Jose, California, and his new book just came out, the 14th edition, which is Vaccination is Not Immunization. And welcome back, Dr. O'Shea.
Thank you, Dr. Pratt.
Hey, you know, I know people are going to want to know about H1N1, so, you know, your opinion on kind of what transpired there, even though we're coming out the other side of that, what do you want to share with us?
Well, about four, this phenomenon occurred, as you remember, back in April, last April, within the first 4 days, they were already using the word pandemic, and that was a red flag for me. I saw what was coming. I actually predicted that it was going to happen 4 months earlier when my last edition of the book came out, my vaccine book, but I just didn't know what the name of it was. And so I began to follow it very closely, and there are four articles that I wrote, and they're on my website, thedoctorwithin.com, that are in the chapters section of my website, and people can go and look at that. But it has like a historical significance because it's fading out. But I do recommend that people at least read the very last one of those chapters. It's called Goodbye Swine Flu, and it's a chapter on my website, thedoctorwithin.com. And what we're finding out is that I'll just bottom line it here.
Okay.
That there really was no such thing as swine flu. That swine flu was just the artificial recategorization of cases of regular flu all across the world by the World Health Organization and the FDA and definitely the CDC for the purpose of marketing a new vaccines. And you know, I was like out there, I was out there saying this all summer long and all during the autumn, and I was out there saying, you know, things like this, and I was backing up my conclusions with, you know, abundant documentation, but I still sounded a little shrill and a little hysterical. But I'm telling you, there is a group in Europe right at this time. It's a group of medical doctors. They're called the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe. You know, and I document them on my website, but and they are chaired by this doctor out of Berlin. And now they are coming out and they are saying the exact same things that I have been saying all summer. This group of medical doctors, they are doing a major investigation into the World Health Organization for creating what they're calling a false pandemic and the collusion that they are uncovering between the members of the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the huge vaccine manufacturers who stand to make, you know, the billions of dollars of profit for these what I call boutique epidemics or made-to-order epidemics.
Very funny. Now, how much money are they making? What are we talking?
You know, it's really hard to say. These days, it was there. Here's what I do, Dr. Pratt. You really have to, people. I really want people to read this article called "Goodbye Swine Flu: Boutique Epidemic," because my contention is, and I've really shown this in the last since 9/11. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This pattern has happened five times. The same pattern has happened five times over. With what? With smallpox, with anthrax, with SARS, with avian flu, and now finally with swine flu. And here's the pattern. Here's the pattern. So this is the important thing to recognize about swine flu, because it's the fifth time in 8 years that this has happened, so to be ready when it happens again. So the pattern goes like this. They claim that a new disease has emerged, and it's supposedly caused by this exotic pathogen, and it's going to, you know, then it's followed by unrelenting, incessant, hysterical media talking about the percentage of the world's population who are going to be infected and die, and then there's always, but wait, there is hope. It's drugs and vaccines. It's Tamiflu and the new vaccine or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be saved. And then we spend the money, we spend the billions of dollars, and then as soon as we spend the $1 billion, within a few weeks after that, what happens? Poof, it evaporates. The threat evaporates. And that exact pattern, I traced this out in my book and on my website, thedoctorwithin.com. It has happened five times in the last, since 9/11.
Well, you know, I have a little note here that was handed to me that says, how can parents immunize themselves against media and government hype? And so, you know, the studio is getting pretty funny in here. But yeah, I think that, you know, part of this show is kind of giving people a little bit of a heads up, and it might be new information for some folks right now listening to that. But I find that to be curious and fascinating that you've done so much research.
But the thing here for parents who are listening here, that's my real target demographic,
right,
is once they look at just one of these issues, like they take a little bit of a close look at autism, or a little bit of a close look at mercury, or a little close look at avian flu, or human papillomavirus, or swine flu, and they just follow my sources. You know, you don't have to believe me. People don't have to believe me. Everything I say is meticulously documented from the best sources, you know. But what I'm saying is, if people will just follow one of these trails down to its logical conclusion and see that the emperor has no clothes in this particular case, then there is a hope that they can see that this entire illusion, this entire puppet show is taking place across the whole area of vaccinations and immunizations. That's my hope.
Oh, I would hope so, too. Now, when you move, what else do you want to tell us about H1N1?
Let's see. With respect to what, Dr. Trudy?
Well, with respect to, I don't want to move off the topic until you feel like you have adequately addressed parents' concerns.
Okay, well, in my articles, Goodbye Swine Flu, it tells people about, and you can follow this up by going back to what you remember. It's like from the very first week, it was like all the government officials were falling all over themselves to make the most extreme and dire predictions, painting these graphic apocalyptic scenarios of what was going to happen. And it was almost like they were in competition with each other so that no one could accuse them of lagging behind to point out, you know, what a horrific event was about to transpire, something like this. Obama, you know, I say he fetched the stick on cue when he proclaimed, you know, the state of emergency right at the proper timing, right when they were about to fund the vaccines. So people can read these citations in the book.
Oh, good. Okay. Dr. O'Shea, are you okay taking a phone call?
No, I'd really rather not because
there's
too many important things.
Okay.
The second answer to that question is this. It's like the clinical trials of this vaccine, okay? Usually it takes 1 year. It takes 1 year to bring a vaccine through clinical trials to say that it's to approve it as safe and effective, right? 1 year, okay? Now, in this instance, we have swine flu vaccine. The clinical trials, the only clinical trials in the world, began in August, and they were fast-tracked to only last 6 months, okay? Now, that's ridiculous already. That's cutting the approval time in half. But what they did was even worse than that. Since all the clinical trials started in August, they approved the vaccine. The FDA approved the H1N1 vaccine after five weeks of clinical trials, looking at only a small group of 25 children out of the 30,000 who were, no, no, not 30,000, out of the 3,000 children in the sample size. They looked at 25 children and said these 25 children had a favorable response to the vaccine after 5 weeks, right? And so therefore we are approving this vaccine for mass use, and that was the vaccine that they started giving out to people in August, and thousands of people did really get that vaccine. But I mean, these facts are not just some spurious fantasy that I'm dreaming up here. I have these all meticulously documented, and they are incontrovertible. So that's the type of thing that I want people to be aware of.
Excellent. You know what? It's time for us to take another break. Don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR. We'll be right back.
As hard as it may be to believe, every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is raped. On Saturday, April 10th, real men in Shasta County are going to step into the shoes of women everywhere and walk a mile to bring awareness to all victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. Are you man enough to walk that mile? Won't you please step up and walk a mile to help end rape and sexual assault on April 10th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. High heels are requested for men, and you can call for Shoe Sources at 244-0118, extension 202. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Please join the men's walk on April 10th. For more information or to register for the walk, please call 244-0118, extension 202, or go online to womensrefuge.org. And for every man who raises at least $100 for this cause, a special Walk a Mile t-shirt will be provided. Walk, toddle, skip, or limp, but please, won't you join us and do whatever it takes to make this walk a great success. April 10th at the Market Street Promenade, women everywhere will thank you.
Vietnam Veterans of America invites you to Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. The Welcome Home event will be Saturday, March 27th from 10 to 4 at the Shasta County Vets Hall. Join us for a complimentary lunch and live music with some information and history. Arrive at 9 to join a motorcade to the Veterans Cemetery in Igo for a ceremony to honor the 44 Shasta County servicemen killed in action in Vietnam. We are also looking for the families of those 44 servicemen. If you can help, please call Barry at 227-4774. Then join us on the 27th to welcome home Vietnam veterans.
Have you ever heard of colon hydrotherapy? It's a way to clean, tune, and rebuild your large intestine. Chris Mann, owner of Norstate Hydrotherapy, is a certified colon hydrotherapist with a practice in Reading located at 3067 Victor Avenue. Chris rebuilt her own health using colon therapy and can help you. Call Chris at 223-3656. That's 223-3656.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning
last. Oh, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and what an informative show we're having here on KCNR 1460 Clearly Talk Radio. Dr. O'Shea, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Dr.
This is so interesting, and I'm hoping that our listeners are just loving it. And, you know, I'll let the listeners know we're not going to take any calls. We're just going to push you right to the edge here and get as much, just, you know, squeeze as much information as we can out of you. And I want to make sure we could cover anything you think is vital for parents. And, you know, you're going through H1N1, and I know that during the H1N1 scare, there was a lot. You know, I want to make sure near the end of this segment we don't skip what parents can do to bolster an immune system for their kid. I mean, the bottom line still is that we have compromised immune systems, and there was kind of a lot of plugging for vitamin D that sort of hit mainstream this past winter, and I want to make sure at some point we do round up with the bolstering of the human immune system.
Sure.
And so while we're finishing up H1N1, I want to also make sure that we cover some of the, like, what you think the three most dangerous vaccines are. So when parents are sort of fence-sitters, maybe they're deciding to only do part of the immunization schedule, where would you suggest they, how would you help them get through the fire on that?
First of all, I want people to realize that I'm not trying to talk people out of vaccinating their kids based on this one hour radio interview.
Right.
But what I'm urging people to do is to get the information they need from sources who are not making their living selling vaccines, because that we get all our information off TV, off mainstream media that is totally controlled by pharmaceutical constituency. So that's the purpose of my new book, Vaccination is Not Immunization, because all my references are mainstream medicine, mainstream science, and mainstream law. And it's very difficult to get, you hear things that people say, but to really find out the documentation and what's behind those objections, parents have to just take a day or so and do some serious study and find out for themselves. And that's what you know, millions of people are actually doing across the world today. And slowly, the number of people who are opting out of vaccines for their children, that number is slowly rising, you know, despite all mass media conventional wisdom to the contrary.
You know, in my practice, we had more people in the last 8 months come in to get exemption forms from us to opt out of vaccinations than I've ever seen. And some of that, I understand, is not only the internet, but Facebook and Twitter as well, where, you know, that type of communication, when you get a whole lot of people concerned about a topic, that starts to carry a little bit of weight and power. Is that what you've noticed as well?
Yes, of course. And I say this in my chapter, Goodbye Swine Flu. It's like, despite this horrific apocalyptic future picture painted by mainstream media, the American people, you know, everybody talks about they're a bunch of sheep and they're stupid and everything like this, but the one thing that the American people are sophisticated about is being oversold. And in this case, the drug companies, the people who control media, they hired the best publicists, you know, by those think tanks over on the Potomac, wherever those people live, right? And they oversold swine flu. And I say in my chapter that nothing short of the bubonic plague could have lived up to the actual picture that they predicted, right, was going to happen, you know, this fall. And the American people, they just they got sick of that, and they were oversold, and they backed off and rejected it, and the American people backed off swine flu. I mean, you can go into any Walgreens, you can go into any Long's drugstore, even today, it's amazing, like every 20 feet in every single aisle, you will see this little pop-out sign saying, get your H1N1 vaccine here.
Oh, definitely.
They are desperate to unload these huge numbers of vaccines that all the states have bought because most of the states are returning their allotments now because people aren't buying it. And all over Europe, almost all the countries in Europe are returning their allotments of this phony vaccine for this phony disease. Because even at some gut level, the American people, they understand the truth of what I'm saying, that swine flu never existed.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we need to run to a break, and don't go anywhere. Listeners and Dr. O'Shea, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to KCNR. We'll be right back.
I'm a wife, a mom, and a grandmother, and for 26 years, I've been a registered nurse and health educator. Hi, this is Nancy Sutton Pierce. Join me every Saturday from 11 to 12 a.m. on the Conscious Living Show. It's your time. Let's talk health, love, life challenges, and so much more. Set your dial at 1460 on Saturday at 11 for the Conscious Living Show. Brought to you by Nancy Sutton's House of Yoga and Hilltop Medical Clinics.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Hi, this is Sharon Gaber-Kavich, owner of Home Helpers. And Judy Garland said it best, there is no place like home. And at Home Helpers, empowering you to stay at home is our first priority. Home Helpers specializes in affordable, non-medical home care for seniors, new moms, and those recovering from injury or surgery. Home Helpers hires compassionate caregivers to help with everyday challenges. Whether your need is for a weekly trip to therapy, the grocery store, or a helping hand and friendly face around the house, we can help. Caregivers can provide transportation to appointments, light housekeeping, cooking meals, and more. Home Helpers caregivers are available by the hour or by the day, and all caregivers are screened, insured, and bonded. If you have questions about non-medical home care and how Home Helpers can assist you, call Home Helpers at 226-8350. That's 226-8350, or online at homehelpers.cc. After all, there is no place like home. Home Helpers, making life easier.
And welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy with Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're talking to Dr. Tim O'Shea in San Jose, California about his book, The Sanctity of Human Blood, and his brand new book, his 14th edition, Vaccination is Not Immunization, and it's available now. Just came out. And welcome back, Dr. O'Shea.
Thanks, Dr. Pratt. And I just wanted to tell people that they can get that book at the website, which is www.thedoctorwithin.com.
Okay, good. Yes, because this show is inspiring an interest in reading your book and learning more. And so as we plug through here our last 7 minutes, I'm wishing the clock would go a little bit more slowly. So what information do you want to share with us now?
Well, you had those follow-up questions that Dr. Pratt, that you asked me that you wanted to get those
in,
so go ahead.
You know, I just do think that as parents get informed, they'll start transitioning out of vaccination slowly. Like maybe they'll skip a couple, and maybe if they're trying to pick and choose, they're going to want to know what ones you think are the most dangerous.
I get that. I've had some people, some famous people in Hollywood, they called me up on the phone and they said, you know, because of husband-wife pressure, peer group pressure, whatever, they were allowed to skip one vaccine. So if it was up to me, which one would I skip?
Yes.
That's exactly what they said.
No, I think that's how people start. And they do have pressure from all sides.
Sure. That's true. And so I said, well, Why ask me? Let's ask the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. That's the government program for recovering compensation for vaccine injuries in this country. It's only been set up since 1991, but they've already paid out. It's very, very, very difficult to prevail in litigation and prove a vaccine injury. It sometimes takes 8 or 10 years, but I'll just tell you that they have paid out over $2 billion during this time period in vaccine injuries that have been proven beyond a doubt. And probably most of the other ones that weren't proven, they were legitimate cases as well. It's just it's lawyer stuff. But of that $2 billion that has been paid out in vaccine injuries, 75% of that money has been paid out for injuries to the DPT shot, DTaP shot. So if you want to skip one, statistically, that is the most toxic and the most dangerous. And American children today have 5 doses of that DPT vaccine during the Well Baby program, 5 separate injections.
And what are the symptoms that they're being compensated for? What are the side effects?
Well, you know, it's the neurological CNS stuff, no myelination, autism, you know, learning disabilities, things like this, you know, or simply dropping dead, things like that.
That's a rather large one.
Yeah, that's a very annoying symptom.
Yeah, I hate that. Okay, so DPT you would start with. Where would you go from there?
What, the next worst?
Yes, the next worst. I know it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, inquiring minds would like to know, because I already know the questions I'll get on Monday.
I would say the next most insidious, if not dangerous, would be the human papillomavirus vaccine, in which we're victimizing our 12-year-old girls for a fictitious immunity to a disease of 50-year-old women. That's a real tragedy, and I have a whole chapter on that particular topic under chapter section of my website, thedoctorwithin.com.
Now, with that one, somewhere you wrote that we've had 68 deaths, and, I mean, I stopped and thought about that, and I thought, what if chiropractors caused 68 deaths? You know, in our entire profession, the longevity of the profession, we would be, you know, locked up. And
that's right.
Yeah. And so here we have the HPV vaccine causing 68 deaths, and it's just sort of, you know, you just throw your hair back and keep going. So tell us more about those side effects. Like, why is that dangerous? What questions are we not asking?
First of all, this is one of these subjects that, you know, I really urge parents to read my chapter on human papillomavirus vaccine, because this is a real departure from mainstream vaccination mythology. In this case, they've never proven that this human papillomavirus causes cancer of the cervix. You know, that's what it's supposed to be preventing here, right? And because they've never isolated the virus in a cell, in a cancer cell within metaplastic tissue within the biopsies is what I'm saying, but they evolved this incredible, fantastic theory that particles or pieces or fragments of the human papillomavirus somehow came in contact with some normal cervical cells in the woman, right, and caused those cells to divide into a tumor situation and become cancer. And then those fragments of the virus, they left with no trace and never left any of their own substance behind in the cell. So it's completely theoretical. It's an unfalsifiable and as well as an unprovable hypothesis.
Okay.
And this is the type of science that they have built this entire empire of human papillomavirus vaccine.
In our last 30 seconds, we're just going into a countdown here. In our last 30 seconds, what can you tell us, what can people do nutritionally to boost their immune system?
I can do it in 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, you can do it.
I have a whole seminar that is devoted to that exact topic, the nutrition and detox seminar. It can be viewed on my website, thedoctorwithin.com.
Okay.
Two chapters to start with are the 60-day program and the last resort.
So cleansing your cells and strengthening your immune system. Is that basically?
Yes.
Okay. So cleaning up debris that's left in your system, either from life on planet Earth or from past vaccines. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I want to thank you for coming on. We're just, as always, we just sort of run out of time. I wish it was a longer show. And I want to thank you for taking time out of a beautiful day. You could have been riding your horse, and you're here talking to us, and I appreciate that. And this is Positively Healthy with Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll see you again.
This is KCNR Shasta, Reading.